From KTOO in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. Four lawsuits have been filed against the Alaska Redistricting Board, seeking to change parts of the legislative map it adopted last month. Each lawsuit argues that communities were wrongly placed in the same district with other communities they have little in common with. KTOO and Alaska Public Media's Andrew Kitchman has a story.
Three of the lawsuits were filed by municipalities. Skagway argued in its lawsuit that it has much closer ties to downtown Juneau than it does with the Mendenhall Valley area of Juneau. But the new map includes Skagway and its neighbor Haines with the Mendenhall Valley. Both the Matanuska-Susitna Borough and the city of Valdez argue in their suits that they shouldn't share district boundaries with each other. Matsu Borough Manager Michael Brown points out that the legislative districts drawn for the borough have more residents than those in other parts of the state. He says the board could have used its mapping programs to draw districts with more even population numbers.
It doesn't make a lot of sense to us. It doesn't have to be that way. And with the technology that exists today, it's pretty easy to draw these lines and know exactly where you are.
Valdez City Manager Mark Detter says it makes more sense for Valdez to be in a district with the Richardson Highway communities or those around the Prince William Sound than to be in one with part of Matsu.
We don't share many commonalities socioeconomically or obviously in terms of our geography.
While the three lawsuits filed by municipalities focused on House districts, the fourth lawsuit focused on the Senate districts, which pair two House districts together. In particular, the lawsuit by three Anchorage residents raises a series of concerns with the board pairing two parts of Eagle River with the South Muldoon and Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson neighborhoods. The lawsuit says the two Eagle River House districts should have been paired together into one compact Senate district. Joelle Hall is a member of a coalition that is providing financial support for this lawsuit. Hall is also the president of the State Labor Union Federation.
Folks came out on the record and said, absolutely do not pair Eagle River with East Anchorage. We've seen it before. We don't like it. Don't do it again.
Hall says that it's possible that if the lawsuit is successful, the Senate pairings could be changed ahead of this year's election. But the House districts are less likely to change before the election because of the complexities of drawing new district boundaries. In a brief emailed statement, the board said it will review the challenges and, quote, respond through the court system as contemplated by the Alaska Constitution, end quote. It said it wouldn't be appropriate to comment further. In Juneau, I'm Andrew Kitchenman.
At this year's Alaska Federation of Natives Convention, sponsors of a ballot initiative took the opportunity to say their piece on why tribal recognition in the state is long overdue. Multiple attempts to pass a bill through the legislature were unsuccessful. A tribal recognition bill was passed this year in the House, but never went to a vote in the Senate. Chahya Ish Richard Peterson is the president of the Central Council of Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska. He's also one of the initiative sponsors.
A bill that did come forward from Representative Tiffany Zolkowski to recognize tribes couldn't make it because they were unable to really just get their business done. We thought it was better just let's put this in the hands of the people.
The initiative wouldn't give tribes any new power since they are inherently sovereign. Instead, the initiative aims to have the state acknowledge that sovereignty. Co-sponsor Laganai Liz Medicine Crow says the relationship between the state and tribes needs to be solidified into law. Otherwise, tribes are caught in the middle of the politics of the current administration.
The state of Alaska has too often used our native communities and our tribes as a political hot potato.
The state and Alaska Native tribes already work together in a government-to-government capacity with tribal compacts. The state has a compact in child welfare that allows tribes to take charge in providing their own child welfare services. And earlier on Tuesday, Governor Mike Dunleavy spoke about creating tribal compacts in education.
I was very excited to hear that Governor Dunleavy is supportive of a government-to-government relationship with tribes. That's what this ballot initiative concretes and puts into law. We need to have that in order so that it is not just formal, but it is forever.
To make it on next year's ballot, the initiative needs over 36,000 signatures within a year after being approved. 2 months in, over a third of those signatures have already been gathered. Governor Mike Dunleavy said Monday he's seeking another $5 million in grants to help the Alaska Tourism Industry Association market the state to potential visitors.
We're anticipating a return, hopefully, to robust levels of tourism and cruise ship industry, and that additional increase in individual travelers.
The money comes from the American Rescue Plan, a $1.9 trillion COVID relief bill Congress passed in March with no Republican votes. The grant is subject to approval by the Alaska legislature. The Alaska Tourism Industry Association also got a $10.5 million grant in November and $5 million grant in January. ATIA President Sarah Leonard says the group plans to market Alaska in a digital and television campaign with the goal of boosting the 2022 visitor season. Late last night, the U.S. House voted to hold former White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows in contempt of Congress for refusing to testify before a House committee investigating the January 6th attack on the Capitol. Alaska Congressman Don Young voted no. Young spokesman Zach Brown called the measure punitive. He said it does nothing to uncover new information about the riot. Young had plenty of company. All but two Republicans voted against the contempt resolution for former President Trump's final chief of staff. The Select Committee is investigating what led to the riot, what Trump did that day, and why the government response failed. Text messages Meadows released to the committee have already shed some light. They show high-profile Trump supporters were pressing Meadows to get Trump to call off the siege. The mayor of Alaska's largest city told officials in October to stop fluoridating the municipal water supply, only to reverse himself 5 hours later when informed that fluoridation was required under city code. Alaska Public Media reported on Tuesday that Mayor Dave Bronson stopped fluoridation on October 1st while visiting the Anchorage Water and Wastewater Utilities Iklutna Water Treatment Plant. A statement from Bronson's office confirming the stoppage came 3 days after the Alaska Landmine blog first reported Bronson's directive. Both Bronson and the Anchorage Assembly are investigating. It's impossible to know how many pregnancies end in miscarriage because it can happen before someone even knows they're pregnant. The March of Dimes has been tracking this issue for generations and estimates it could be as high as 50%. It means someone you know has probably experienced pregnancy loss. KTOO's Jennifer Pemberton talked to the organizers of a new support group in Juneau who have some tips for people who have experienced loss and for their friends and family during the holidays.
Until this year, there was no official support group in Juneau for people who had experienced the loss of a pregnancy or an infant. Doctors who had treated patients for miscarriages or stillbirth would reach out to Sarah Grass at Bartlett Regional Hospital looking for help.
There wasn't any immediate resource for that they could find and would often come to us to see if we had any ideas about where to go. And for many, many years, we came up empty-handed with that.
Gress teaches birth preparation classes at the hospital and facilitates groups for new parents. And even though she's really experienced in creating space for people to talk about all aspects of having a baby, she knew the topic of loss and grief was out of her expertise. And so she teamed up with Terry Forst, a licensed professional counselor and a grief recovery specialist.
We have participants who have had recent losses and years ago loss. There's no timeline on grief. Grief is a process that does not have a definition of time, and we will accept and support anybody.
And the group doesn't distinguish between early-term pregnancy loss, known as miscarriage, or later-term loss, known as stillbirth. There are also people in the group who have lost infants after birth, or even people who have been unable to get pregnant who really wanted to have a baby. Forst says we're lacking in rituals for this kind of death.
When we lose somebody, you know, a parent or a sibling, there's memorials, there's funerals, there's feasts and potlucks and obituaries. And with pregnancy loss, there's rarely those things.
She says she wants to change the taboo around pregnancy loss, and that starts with being willing to talk about it.
Trying to think back in 12 years of doing this job that I have ever heard anyone say, I don't want anyone to bring up my loss. You know, it's more of a, I just want them to be talked about and remembered, and I want my experience to be validated.
That brings us to the holidays, a time of joy and getting together with family that can be very awkward or even triggering for people who have experienced loss. Forst has some tips.
I always recommend to not have the holiday dinner be at your house so that you can leave early, or you can choose not to go at all if you want to on the day of. So give yourself, you know, some options, some plan B, to be able to, you know, remove as much unnecessary stress as possible.
And for friends and family who are there to support people who are grieving, she says be open to listening. And it's better to say nothing at all than to let your discomfort lead you to say something insensitive.
And then there's the typical things of what not to say. We hear some of the most common ones are, well, at least you have other kids, or now you know you can get pregnant, so I'm sure you will again, or luckily it was just early in the pregnancy. You know, those type of statements that are really not helpful. They're not validating that this person and this family experienced such an enormous loss.
Instead, she says, offer to bring over dinner or babysit the kids so the grieving parents can have some time together. Heading into the holidays, the group has been sharing ideas for how to honor their loss. Things like lighting a candle or setting a place for the baby at Christmas dinner. Ways of acknowledging the loss in a real and tangible way. In Juneau, I'm Jennifer Pemberton.
The group meets the last Wednesday of every month at 6 p.m. over Zoom. You don't have to be in Juneau to participate. You can register at bartletthospital.org. Look under classes and resources. In local COVID-19 news, Juneau officials report 20 new COVID-19 cases over the last 2 days. Two people with active COVID-19 infections are being treated at Bartlett Regional Hospital. One person tested positive on Monday who is connected to Thunder Mountain High School. 73% of Juneau's total population is fully vaccinated. City's risk level remains at level 2, moderate. Statewide, officials report 347 new people with COVID-19 and 2 deaths, a woman in her 60s from Fairbanks and a man in his 60s from Anchorage. Forecast tonight, mostly clear, flurries. That's it for the KTOO News Update for Wednesday, December 15th, 2021. I'm Jeremy Shea. Thanks for listening.